Good morning, everyone. I'd like to just thank you for the privilege and joy of fellowship around the Lord's table and also fellowship around His Word. For a short while now, I just want to share some meditations. And also for your warm welcome for my wife. I'll tell her that. We are 3 hours before Melbourne, so we start our meeting at 8:30. So we are almost simultaneous now. They are breaking bread now. I'll tell her this is an invitation to come if I do come again next time. Praise God that there is no more veil. It's torn in half at Calvary, and by faith we can have access into His grace now. Sometimes we use these analogies, but really, the veil isn't there, and He's really inside of our hearts, inside of us. And that's the hope of glory, Christ in you. Remember that in Colossians? Christ in you. That's the wonder, that's the mystery, which from the ages past was awaiting to be revealed. Isn't that a wonderful thing, Christ in us? Now, I have some thoughts on a key New Testament word for this state. It's called reconciliation. You know, isn't it wonderful that because the veil has been rent by God's grace, we can really come to Him, we have access to Him, and He comes to reside in us. He's the resident God. And one of the ways to describe this is reconciliation. And in a breaking of bread like this, week after week, one of the things that we can do is to remind ourselves of the results of this wonderful state of reconciliation, so that it is not just a commemoration of a historical event, even in my personal history, wonderful though that may be, but at the same time, it is a present thing. You know, it's a celebration of the victory that I can live from day to day. It's a confirmation of the promises, and I live in the reality of it day to day. So I want to bring you to three principal passages in the New Testament, and we'll read through them briefly, which reminds us of three different results of reconciliation. Now the first is in the great one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. And this first result is the fact that we are made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Well-known verse, let's read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so notice that. See, it's in Him. Not in anything, anyone else, any other person, but in Him, because He is in us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is it possible that all things are become new? That's because He has given us a new disposition so that we are able to have God's perspective of things. And that's how all things can become new. Even though, apparently, for a time, or maybe for quite some time, outwardly the situation has not changed, things have not changed, the persons are the same, but all things have become new because He has made us new in the reconciliation. So all things have become new. What a wonderful thing. Now, the thing, beloved, for us is to keep and to maintain this newness and this freshness. And this is one of the things that something like this can be to us. It's such a precious spiritual exercise for us to maintain this newness and this freshness. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, right? Because of the Lord's mercy, we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And do we discover anew this morning His great faithfulness and His compassion? And so we can have this same sense of newness. We're made new, but let's keep it anew. One of the results of reconciliation. Verse 18, all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's the first wonderful result. Second, we can turn to another place in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, which sheds light on another result of reconciliation. Let's read from verse 14. He is our peace, who has made both one. I want you to notice in the verse before, but now in Christ Jesus, verse 13. Did you see that? Now in Christ Jesus, who were sometimes far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. So again, it's in Christ, right? It's in Christ Jesus. Never deviates from that. That's the only basis. He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition before us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man. So, that is a link between this verse and the previous passage we read. Made one new creature or creation, and we're a new man, a new person. And we continue to live in the power and principle of this new man. Verse 16, so making peace, verse 16, and that He might reconcile, so there is our word, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What is in view here is the result of reconciliation making us one. That is the emphasis here. So we are made new and we are made one. You see the occurrence of the word peace. This is our normal conventional understanding of the word reconcile when we use it in ordinary conversation. So we're not estranged anymore and we're friends again. And praise God that He now makes us His friends. He calls us friends, not just servants, right? When once we were enemies. So we're at peace with God. We're at one with God, and because of that we can be at one with ourselves, and because we are at one with ourselves we can be at one with other people. And this is a precious result of reconciliation, and it shows we are made one. That means whole, undivided, so that individually I feel that, personally I feel that, but corporately we feel that too. We are one, we are undivided. There is no discrimination, there is no dissension, there is no division. So that when we come together, it is a demonstration of this result of reconciliation. What a wonderful thing. So therefore, this is the spirit in which we can fulfill what He says in chapter 4. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. So it's not something that we strive for, but it flows out of this. So praise God for this wonderful result. We're reconciled, we're made one. There's peace. We're reconciled, we're made new. In fact, that is the fundamental meaning of the word in the Greek translated reconciliation. It's not just making peace or making friends again. It means a thorough change so that we are altogether new. And the third result we can read from Colossians chapter 1. Let us read verse 20 and 21 and 22. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. So you see there is a cascading effect. They are not standalone verses. This is referred to in the previous section that we read. And then he continues to shed more light on this. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him. So do you notice that again? By who? By Jesus Christ, right? So it's in him, it's by him. In the previous verse, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So it's always in Christ, in Jesus Christ, in him. So having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself. So we have this again. But this is something that tells us of the scope of his reconciliation. It covers all things. So if we avail ourselves of that, we will begin to see all things new. He reconciles all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. How does he do this? In the body of his flesh. Through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So this third result of reconciliation is the fact that we are made holy. Holiness is something that begins by us being made righteous. He becomes our righteousness. We do not strive first to be holy, but he has made us holy. So because he has made us holy, we can fulfill that exhortation, that instruction, so to speak, given from way back, right, in the Old Testament. Be ye holy as I am holy. All the way from Leviticus. But it was a yoke. It was like a burden to them. You know, to know that you're supposed to be holy, but you try and you fail again and again. By this perfect once and for all sacrifice, we are able, it's possible, it's practical for us to fulfill this. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. So again, let us be quickened in our hearts and in our spirits to maintain this holiness. It's not just the fact that I've had my sins forgiven, wonderful that may be, or the fact that I can avail myself of the blood of Jesus anytime that I slip and fall and be forgiven. I don't have to start from square one. I can be reinstated where I dropped and I continue. Wonderful as those things may be, but actually knowing holiness in new ways, because as we grow closer to the Lord, He actually shows us areas in our lives where we might never have seen before. For years we have thought nothing of this. This is the way I do. I live. You know, this is my habit, or this is my temperament. We name it all sorts of things, and suddenly, His light shines on there, and we begin to see a blot. That is why the great apostle Paul, if we trace some of his statements in chronological order, they appear in the epistles, which we can more or less date. This is interesting, because in one of the earlier epistles, he describes himself in terms of level, I'm the least of the apostles. That's easy, because he persecuted the church of Christ. And then in the middle stage, he describes himself as less than the least of all saints. So he didn't go up, so to speak, he went down. And in one of his later epistles towards the end of his life, he described himself as, I'm the biggest sinner amongst them all. I'm the chief of sinners. So he didn't go up, he descended, he went further down. And that's an exemplification of growth in holiness. Because a man or a woman who grows closer to God sees more of his own unworthiness. And thus describes himself there. It's not just a nice word. So, brothers and sisters, let us be reminded and be quickened that this great reconciliation which he has brought us into, so that we are in a right relationship with God, is meant to be maintained. Let's maintain this newness, let's maintain this oneness, and let's maintain his holiness in him. Let's pray, shall we? O God of glory and grace, we thank you, Lord, for the richness of your grace through Jesus Christ and this inscrutable work called reconciliation. Though we may not understand it, especially when we're new in the faith, yet we can feel it. We can feel the result of it and the benefits of it. Remember that there was a day when we were made clean, we were made new, and we were made one, whole. And Father, we do want to keep this in view and grow in it. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and this precious hour that we can spend together to remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has made this a reality. Grant, Lord, that we may be quickened to keep it alive and keep it fresh for ourselves and for one another. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for thy sake. Amen.